Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul is talking in our text about a curse. He's talking about a blessing, a curse and a blessing. Our culture speaks of curses. We hear the word curse used to describe vulgar language in general, or especially used as a term for imprecatory exclamations in great anger or frustration. We see curses at work in movies, like the pirate crew cursed for stealing Aztec gold in Pirates of the Caribbean. Or in Harry Potter's world, curses are harmful spells that come shooting out of the end of a wizard's wand as horrible bursts of green light. We have supposed curses in sports. Ever wonder why it's been so long since the Cubs have played in the World Series? The curse of the Billy Goat, of course. Why hadn't the Red Sox won a World Series since 1918? The curse of the Bambino. And in hindsight, you have to admit that it was pretty dumb to trade Babe Ruth to the Yankees. So yes, our culture speaks of curses, but none of these even begin to capture the scope of God's great curse, witnessed to in the Bible. This is the curse which Paul speaks of in our text. It is not a fairy tale. It is very real. It is very ancient. It is very, very big. It is devastating beyond description. And there is nothing in the power of men, nothing which we sinful creatures of flesh on our own can do to escape it. This great curse has not always been in God's world. When our first parents rebelled against God, against his deity, against his will, against his command, against his voice, against his ways. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God's peace, his justice, his wisdom, his goodness, his love, against his provision, when Adam and Eve thus sinned, the bliss of Eden was shattered and God spoke a curse. The curse. The human race began quickly to decay. This curse entered the very ground itself upon which we walk and from which we had been created. This curse subjected the entire creation, the whole universe, to futility and suffering, to bondage and decay. Soon the whole world was filled with wickedness, violence, hardship, toil, frustration, and death. In the time of Noah's father, the Bible depicts him longing for rest, longing for relief because of the curse which God had spoken upon the earth, relief from the labor and the painful toil of his hands. But the curse continued, the curse on human disobedience. When God gave his Sinai law to the children of Israel, he spoke vividly through Moses, too vividly, we might think, of what his great curse upon disobedience would look like. Pestilence, fever, boils, inflammation, drought, famine, defeat by enemies, blindness and confusion of mind, shame, every ounce of well-being and prosperity slipping from your hands. You will be oppressed and robbed continually with no one to help you. You will take a wife, but another man will ravish her. You will build a house, but you won't live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but not enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered in front of you, but you will not eat of it. Your sons and daughters will be given to another people while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all the day, but you will be helpless. And all of this, which did play out in Israel's history, all of this was just a foreshadowing, just a hint, just a down payment and a revelation beforehand, just early warning signs of the great and final judgment of God coming upon the whole world. When all the dead are raised to life, we all will stand before God at the coming of Christ into the world. And those who have broken God's law will be accursed forever. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. They will forfeit forever the goodness, love, peace, beauty, order, justice, community intended by God for all humanity. That is the great curse of God upon the disobedience of men. And among men, from our own powers, there is no hope of escape. But, Paul writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There was no strength in flesh. There was no power among men to bring us help, but Jesus Christ, the God-man, has redeemed us in his flesh. Behold the mystery of redemption which Paul sets before us in this text. What a wondrous thing it is that the mighty God has taken upon himself human flesh and has become a man. But that is not the wonder that Paul speaks about in this text. What a wondrous thing it is that the glorious God, arrayed in majesty and splendor from before the foundation of the world, comes clothing himself as a lowly servant among fallen men. But that is not the wonder that Paul speaks of in our text. Behold the mystery of redemption which Paul sets before us. Paul points the foolish Galatians here to the highest wonder of all, the cross of Jesus. Paul writes, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The dreadful, towering curse of God on human disobedience. On the cross, Jesus took that curse upon himself so fully, so absolutely, so sufficiently, so terribly, so wondrously, that Paul can truly say, he became a curse. In Corinthians, Paul writes, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And here Paul marvels that Jesus, who himself is the very word of God's blessing to us, who himself is the source of every blessing for the world, that Jesus became on the cross a curse for us. Because of this redeeming work, the accursed suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross, we who trust in Christ, though our lives be marred by disobedience, accursed disobedience, we have been redeemed from the great curse of God. And in place of this curse for Jesus' sake, the blessing of Abraham now comes to us. The great blessing which God promised through Abraham to all the families of the earth, Christ has procured, and Christ now bestows. Before sin ever came into the world, before the curse was ever spoken, already in Eden and throughout all the creation, God was speaking his blessing. Be fruitful, live, fulfill your vocations, enjoy my gifts, eat and work and rest and delight. In Jesus Christ, this blessing has been restored. The day is coming very soon when we will see with our own eyes the fullness of God's blessing in the new creation. The day is coming soon when we will hear with our ears the saints and the angels singing with joy, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And then will come about, because of the cross of Jesus, the great hope promised in the last chapter of the Bible, and there shall be no more curse. Amen.